Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome everyone to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Welcome to Happy Friday. Thank the Lord that we have another day to be here. Before we get started, I need to make some public service announcements. Let me shout out to a couple of our sponsors. Stephanie Hammond-Tillett, Marcia Morgan, Barry Mason. These are the ladies and gentlemen of Track One Entertainment and Simply Sensational, Inc. Barry Mason is the CEO of Track One Entertainment. He's also our show's official consultant. Stephanie Hammond-Tillett and Marcia Morgan are two of the CEO ladies that are out there putting together these huge, beautiful, amazing events out here in New York. We've had quite a few privileges of being to a couple of them. They get some celebrities in there, and they just put out an all-good show. So I want to shout out to them. Please pay attention to all of the postings that they put up by Barry Mason and by Simply Sensational, Inc. This coming Wednesday, June 19th, they're having their annual Brooklyn Terrace Indoor-Outdoor Party. It's a rooftop party in Brooklyn. You have to inbox Barry Mason for details. He's on Facebook. You have to get your tickets fast and in advance because they go like water. Okay? Next up, I want to send out some support to Monster Miles. He will not be on the segment this evening, but the show will go on. He has an emergency with our family member, and we want to make sure everything is okay with him. So, Miles, if you're out there listening, on behalf of the show and everyone out there, you know, we hope everything goes well, and we'll make sure that we get it in for you tonight. Okay. Tonight, our lineup. Our topic on the Lifeline segment with Katie is going to be all about this horrendous sagging trend that half of us have been plagued with on the buses and public places. That'll be first up. Tonight, as you all know, every Friday, we big up our up-and-coming entrepreneurs and our brand-new unsigned artists. We actually have two additions to Our unsigned artists this week, we played them a couple of times this week to give you a little bit of a preview. One of them is Kayla Shea. She's a wonderful young lady and pretty cool with her records. Her sound is cool. She is out there in Toledo, Ohio. I'm going to give her some airplay tonight. She's probably going to lead off our brand new artist this evening. Next up, we have Mike Check. He has a single out, and it's called Rewind, Me and My Shorty. He is represented by Jazz OG Productions, Mr. Wesley Hooks. And we are going to fire it up tonight with No Holds Barred Sports segment, our special Friday edition. We're going to be talking up about these Miami Heat Spurs hookup in the finals over here. We're going to be speaking about this Jason Kidd move. We got a few people we're expecting to be calling in, hopefully including a guest co-host this evening. We will be hearing from quite a few of our regular panelists, so hopefully all that goes well. And you definitely are welcome to call in 347-327-9967 to listen in or to comment, share your thoughts on what you think is going on here. And I'm going to start off with our new artist, unsigned artist, Break. This is Miss Kayla Shea. Kayla Shea, if you're out there listening, this is your first play for the night. This is called Lie to Me. Ladies and gentlemen, after Kayla Shea, I will be coming back to start off our topic. Be back in five.
You feel that you wouldn't even lie.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Miss Kayla Shea from Toledo, Ohio, singing her first single, Lie to Me. Okay, we are going to get started with tonight's topic. This is the war against sagging, that ugly trend that we see out there, that it is the talk of the town among most people. It doesn't even have to be adults. We see our teens, our youth walking around with their pants drooping past their butts, their undergarments showing. Half of them don't even have clean underwear. Some of it is not even fitting them properly, but they're parading around. And I think the one that makes me laugh the most is the one where they're sagging with a belt around their knees. How on earth do you, it's like a contradiction, isn't it? Well, okay. Let's see what we got to say about this. Now, I have to share a little bit of an experience that I had coming in today. I'm heading into the studio. I think that someone took sagging to a whole nother level, because I actually saw this young man with a dress shirt tucked in the pants with a belt sagging. I think that that's like the new formal dress code of sagging or something. It's like this is what you would wear to the black and white party. He had a long-sleeved dress shirt. By the way, it was wrinkled. was not ironed. Okay? But he had a dress shirt and slacks and nice shoes, and he had the belt on his pants sagging. Now, mind you, at least the good thing about this was the shirt was tucked in, so the underwear wasn't exposed. But you could clearly see he was sagging, so I'm trying to figure out if that's the new trend now. We got formal sagging. Hilarious. You know, it was hilarious to me. I'm like, you're supposed to end it. Thoughts on this. And I personally am happy about it. I'm jumping for joy because somebody made a difference. But New Jersey just actually passed a law banning that trend. Now, I heard a couple of people trying to say that they banned it because it's associated with hip-hop, trying to put a little bit of the racial spin on it. But I don't agree. I don't agree with this one. Okay, I do not agree that this is about race. I don't agree that this is about them trying to, you know, bring hip-hop down again. And frankly, a little spin on the hip-hop thing, hip-hop artists are in a big, massive collective light. And their job, not just to promote the, you know, the OG bling-bling style, they really need to understand that they have a social responsibility to lead out with a good example. But that's another story. As it stands right now, the sagging trend is a choice. It's a choice by whoever decides to wear it. You are standing there in the mirror every day, and you can either keep your pants up or you can let them droop. Don't blame hip-hop. Don't blame TV shows. Don't blame anything. Blame you and your mind. And for those of you parents who are out there thinking that it's just a kid thing and it's a trend thing, shame on you. And for you adults that are out there doing a father and son sag, hello, the yesteryear is gone for a reason. The Lord grows us for a reason, because we're supposed to put away childish things when we become adults. And when you become parents, you're supposed to grow up. So if you choose to be a parent, and a good one at that, you don't sit there and join in and condone the actions that are not correct to making your child everything they can be in a positive light. And not to mention that on a child sagging, as bad as that is, I think it's a little more ridiculous when you're sagging at the age that you wear Depends for underwear. Moving right along, we do have a caller in, and definitely we all love hearing from this man. And I am expecting a few more people to come in, and I would like to get his opinion on what he thinks of the New Jersey banning and of the sagging trend itself. Just a second while we bring in our guest.
Sounds all right with me.
Good evening, caller. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm hanging in there by the grace of God. If it wasn't for him, what would we have?
Without him, there would be nothing.
Yes, yes, exactly. Not a thing. We would be definitely be in trouble.
Well, definitely looking forward to hearing about your thoughts on tonight's topic. First up, what do you think of the trend? And then I would like to ask you what you think of the New Jersey law that was just passed.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, come on. A lot of these young people don't realize where that sagging started at. And if a lot of them knew, I think they would pull their pants up on their behinds, you know, and what that represents. They don't realize it started in the penitentiary, and that's how you can identify the jailhouse, how would I want to put it without trying to slander anyone, but anyway, but you can get the idea of the point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah,
okay, we can use that. Yeah, they were the girlfriends inside the jail, so if they knew where that started from, maybe they would change their minds on walking around. It's a lot of things they pick up and they don't realize what they're dealing with. Like, they want to walk around and call each other pimps and stuff. You realize what a pimp does and what a pimp would be willing to do? No, don't classify yourself as something if you don't know nothing about it. It's crazy. And, you know, I find it very comical because some of these guys consider themselves thugs, and they're out here committing crimes. Have you ever tried to see one of them running, trying to get away from the police?
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I've seen the ones that have the most droopy sag ever start fights and wind up getting beat up for the very thing because they hinder themselves.
They're hindering themselves.
I was trying to figure out the sense in this, though. I mean, if it wasn't such a sad situation, it would be really like a comedy skit. Because, I mean, I've seen grown men that you could clearly see that they're moving into the middle age level, and they're out there sagging worse than the youngins are.
Yeah.
And I don't see that it's cute to have a father and son matching sag king. I don't see it. And frankly, as I was saying, I think the most extreme, most, how could I put this? The most extremely crazy, to me, disgusting sight I've ever seen, where in my neighborhood, I have pretty much I live around more elderly people than I live around younger people. And I don't know what goes through a senior citizen's mind where they feel that it's time for them to try to, you know, if you can't beat the youngins, join them. There is just something, well, I know you know where I'm headed with this. This 70-something-year-old man, and I'm going to give respect to his actual age, but if you saw the man, he'd probably need a walker to walk, okay? So he'd probably need a walker to walk to the walker. And he's sagging with Depends. And then he's not sagging because of Alzheimer's or lack of medication or, you know, the mind is going. He's really thinking that he's a player. And then I think what doubled it up, and I was drinking. Everybody who knows me knows that I'm a coffee fanatic. So I'm in the window and I'm trying to enjoy my third cup of daily coffee. And I'm literally choking because as he's busy trying to, you know, limp away with his sagging on a walker, here comes his walker, senior citizen partner, doing the same. So I'm sitting there and I'm asking them while they're busy looking at a young lady walking past them, what exactly do you think that you're going to be attracting? Because, you know, the last thing that somebody wants to think of is the fact that you have a diaper on.
Right.
So I think that it's bad enough that the youth are wearing it, but when it becomes a thing where you're sagging with Depends, that's indecent exposure.
Yes, it is.
Okay, that is a personal problem, and you need to keep it to yourself. But underwear is personal, too.
Yes, it is.
Not to mention young ladies are doing the same thing now. It's a new thing, and I don't find this attractive, and I think it's getting ridiculous. You know, I'm never going
to. That's even worse to see a young lady sagging. That's an insult. And you see so much of some of these young women walking around here, and you see they're worse than some of the guys. You see they crack, and I'm going to be 100. Keep it 100 with you. That's not very attractive for a young lady. You know, you got so much hanging out here, hanging out there. It's not very attractive at all.
You know, I a lot of the young people got some things twisted. Like, as much as they're an impressionable group, as much as they are a hormonal group, a lot of, as they get older, and a lot of, even the older guys, you know, the ones that should have a little more comprehension and experience with life.
Mm-hmm.
These girls and these, they have it twisted because a lot of them dress revealing off the bat. Now, I think I mentioned this in one of my articles, but a guy is going to jump on what they see because it's there. It's an offer. It's there for the taking. Go ahead. But what they desire is to guess based on seeing a girl in a sexy dress or whatever the case is. And this was actually taken. There's a survey, and I was trying to find the link, where a bunch of young men, actually, of all types, the ones that will sleep with anything that moves, and the one that, you know, will be a little more reserved, a little more selective, the ones that are more, you know, monotonous. But what it is that they were all saying that in the end, it's more like we would rather try to guess what's under there, or where does that short skirt lead to the rest? Not that we want to see it out there and nothing left of the imagination. And a lot of them also associated the fact that there are women that could be classy and dress pretty sexy, and they would rather get to know that person a lot quicker. So I'm trying to figure out that these young ladies trying to take on the culture and the fashion trends of these young men who are going to grow up someday and look back and go, darn, I was stupid. You know what I mean? You know, then the girls that ran with them are going to be, like, not what they would pick. So it's sad. Now, I'm reading an article. I want everybody that's out there to listen to all the different things that they try to say is sagging, okay? Well, according to Judge Greg Mathis, sagging was adopted from the United States prison system where belts were prohibited. Belts were sometimes prohibited because prisoners used them as weapons or as suicide aids, okay, and hanged themselves. Then the style was later, once again, here we go, popularized by hip-hop artists in the 1990s. Now, I don't remember hip-hop actually popularizing sagging. I remember the baggies.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between baggy and sagging because I don't remember not one hip-hop artist sagging and showing their underwear. I remember them wearing things that were ridiculously too darn large. So once again, we got society trying to hit it back on something that becomes, you know, an ethnic thing. Okay? Hip-hop didn't do this. And exactly where it originated from, I hear so many old-timers that actually have gone in the jail system that are offended by the fact that these young people actually believe that this is a great thing to do when they were robbed of their liberal human rights in the jail system to even wear shoelaces.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a lot of prisoners that are there that feel that why would you want to do that when it represents what it represents?
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, most of these youngsters know all about that origination story.
Right.
And it doesn't bother them. So I don't know if that's another topic about where this mindset comes from.
Okay. Well, my opinion, what's missing with some of these young people is guidance. A lot of them don't have any guidance, and I think that falls back on to the older generation. You have some of the older generations there. They're teaching these young people the wrong way. And we don't have enough positive elderly men out here that are getting with these young men and teaching them the right way to go. And that's what the Word of God says that we are supposed to do, is to teach the children the right way to go, so they can grow up to be very profitable people in society. And that's not happening. You have a lot of these elderly people that are going around here making all these babies, but nobody's taking care and raising these young men. So my thing is, I get upset sometimes when I hear a lot of people want to talk about these young men, you know, and I look at it like this. They have their T's twisted. Don't talk about these young people unless you're out there trying to teach them, because that's what we're supposed to do. There was somebody out there to teach us right from wrong and what was good and what was bad, and a lot of that is missing from out of their lives. A lot of these young men coming from homes to where, you know, I'm not saying that you don't have mothers that are single parents that are doing a good job raising these young men, but they are. But my thing is, there needs to be a man, a positive man in their lives to show them what it is to be a man. A woman can't do that regardless of what anybody says. A woman cannot teach a man how to be a man. There has to be a real positive man in their life. You know, and I was fortunate enough to have two men in my life that I call dad, and one is no longer with me, but he's with me in my heart. Excuse me. Like I said, he's no longer with me, and I miss him very much. Wow. Okay, what is missing is, like I said, is guidance for these young men. And we need to get back to basics and start getting in these young men's ears and get some of these other guys out of their ears that's not screwing anything but negative stuff in their ears. And that's just my opinion.
Well, it's not just an opinion. I mean, it's kind of a universal rule. If you're going to do something and start off bad, you're going to generate bad results. But,
yeah,
you know, it's a good way to view things. Now, there was a debate about sagging between a couple of experts, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I looked at something just a couple of minutes ago that really disturbed me. Okay, now, two psychologists, one of them in Maryland, says that, okay, they don't think that banning the sagging trend is effective because, I'm trying to get to the right area so that I can read properly. Because, all right. Oh, Lord, I lost my place. Okay, it's not effective, Dr. Booski says, because adolescents need, at that time, what they need is to be able to express their point of view. As a parent, this is difficult because you do have to allow your children to establish their own identity. Okay, he has a valid point on half of that, but on the other half, listen, there is a limit even on expression. I'm sorry, but there is. There isn't. There, listen. So I have a girlfriend who has a daughter that in support of her being creative, this girl by the time she was 18 years old has about 23 piercings in her face, her ears, her forehead, her navel, her breast area. You know, she has colored her hair 500 different ways from Sunday. She's tried 50 million ways. She has no more body parts to pierce or tattoo or anything. Now, people forget that piercing can cause infection, that tattoos are not always done by the most sanitary of places, that in the long run, the ink winds up risking cancer as they're doing.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
And not just the fact that if you're Christian, you're not supposed to mark up your body anyway.
Right.
So there's a lot of things with that. So I think that as much as I wouldn't mind my kid, even though I'll probably cringe and shake, to color her hair pink or spike it up, there's got to be a point in time where you say, okay, listen, that's a little too overboard. I had a problem with my son getting earrings in their ear. I did. For a lot of
mm-hmm.
people, I feel that is something that they associate with females, and especially he wanted to get two in his ear, each ear. Okay, I kind of gave in on the one, and then on top of that, at the age that he had asked me for it, I didn't want him to do it because a lot of men grow up and want to take the earring out, and once you put that hole in your ear, it's there. So
right.
I didn't want him to have to make a decision that was going to be a permanent decision before he had the comprehension and understanding to accept the responsibility for a permanent move. So he wanted to get it. Wind up getting infected, you know, so it's that type of thing. But the other man says, oh, a child in right here in Midtown Manhattan, they're calling him James to protect his identity, but he says in Midtown Manhattan, they're not even allowed in this particular black and Latino population high school to even wear belts to school. Okay.
How are they supposed to keep their pants up?
That's exactly what the little boy, what the high school student is asking. He says that he's kind of small-waisted anyway, so he's having a hard time with getting pants that actually fit him anyway. So he says even with the belt sometimes, that his pants fall. But I don't think they're supposed to ban belts. That's prison.
Yeah.
But they're banning belts right here in New York City.
And whose bright idea was that?
Apparently the principals, because you know what it is? Whenever...
Well, excuse me, but when are the parents going to start stepping up and start voicing their opinions on what people are trying to press onto their children? Where are the parents at this school? Where are the parents allowing this principal to tell their children that they're not allowed to wear a belt? I mean, where do they get off at?
There's a principal in Brooklyn that agrees with you, Dr. Thomas DeMarco, who says that the dress code of banning belts is an extreme measure. Okay? I think what I've noticed in America is this. Officials that have decision-making powers don't know how to deal with massive and extreme changes, especially if it's a culture they're not familiar with. There are certain things, and I've said this before, when it comes down to human beings, you cannot look in a textbook and figure people out.
Right.
You have got to be experienced. This is one of those situations where hands-on experience is the only certification.
Right.
There's no, you know, the only thing I look to textbooks for is if you're normally a shy person in a customer service public job, you need to look into a book to see what, you know, what an icebreaker line would be. But as far as knowing people, there is no degree you can get in that.
Correct. Correct.
So there's, and then we got another person that's saying that sagging makes people a sense of hyper-paranoia to be either homoerotic or homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, there goes the cop-out theory, because nobody wants to say this is definitely from jail and there's got to be a reason, or this shouldn't be glamorized. So I commend Jersey, because you know what? As much as we spoke about government interference in the homes, this is the type of government interference we actually need. That's what they're supposed to be doing, not telling a parent not to pick up a belt and whip their kid. They're supposed to be saying, let me help you help your kid. And this is the way we'll do it. Since you're trying everything you can and they're still a little hard-headed, we're going to make it a law.
Mm-hmm.
But now what I didn't find out is, what is the penalty if they catch a kid sagging against the law? Because the last thing we want is to have a bunch of kids with a criminal record and their fingerprints in the system because of the sagging trend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing I need to investigate. Now, we'll have a follow-up show on this matter.
Okay.
The other thing is, and I was trying to... Okay. Then we have, the same doctor who says that the sagging trend has the potential to send both homoerotic and homophobic signals. So it's like boys are saying, I'm daring you to look at my behind and take my manhood.
Yeah.
You know? And I believe that if that's where it came from in jail and that was the code, he might be right on this. But now the same doctor with his own two sons believes now, after he said all this, now he's counteracting his own words by saying, I believe it's just a phase. So when it comes down to your own children, now it's just a phase, but you're giving all this psychiatric advice and talking about these. That part kind of got me a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that men, you need to be in your face with crazy stuff for you to express yourself as a person. I do believe that if you want to be unique, I'll support that. But to be unique at the expense of degrading yourself or giving yourself a bad look, that's a problem. Giving yourself a, wow, you saw that person, and that person will constantly talk about you, a little bit different. But when you're out there and you're saying, here, look at my breasts, look at my private parts, look at my behind, see my underwear, you understand what for?
Yeah.
What for? I want to take a break, about 5 minutes, and I will be back with you, Mr. Williams. If you're still up to it, please hang out with me. We got a few more minutes left in the segment, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure for me to hear from Deacon Williams. He's doing so much out there in Toledo, always active. Okay, everybody, let me introduce Mr. Mike Check. He's with Jazz OG Paparazzi Productions. His manager / agent is Wesley Hooks. You can look on the OTE market page, the artist page, and you can see how to contact this young man. I actually met him at an event on Tuesday the 11th at the Albella Club Lounge, Albella Lounge, actually, in downtown Manhattan. By the way, Mr. Preston, owner of Albella, the lounge is awesome. All you New Yorkers, it's classy. There's good music, good atmosphere. You need to go down there and check him out. He has karaoke if you like open mics. Mr. Mike Check was there. He handed me the CD. I heard the single, and I like it. I'll be back in 3 and 3. caller. Hello?
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Hey, guys, everybody. How are you out there? Thank God for another day. TGIF, everyone. That was Mr. Mike Checks, Rewind, Me and My Shorty. He's one of our additions to our OTE, up-and-coming unsigned artists. You can check him out on our page, on our official website. Get out there and support all these entrepreneurs, all of these up-and-coming artists. They're really trying to stay positive out there. The economy is screwed right now, and they're trying to build up a little something. You guys can probably benefit from some of the services that's on our entrepreneurs page and, you know, possibly be able to network and do something yourself. But as for these artists, most of the artists on our pages are young people. Young people trying to stay positive, trying to keep their hands to themselves, trying to keep their eyes on the prize. And I would ask all of you to take a listen to their music, give them a nice encouraging word here and there. Be honest with them, though, but be encouraging, because this is a hard thing to do when you're faced with nothing but negativity. For those of you that's just joining us, we are discussing this evening the war against sagging, that ridiculous trend, that controversial trend, because a lot of people know where it's coming from. A lot of older people or people who've been experienced in the prison system do know that that's not something to be proud of. The blame game, once again, is happening. It belongs to the hip-hop artists. They did it. It belongs to the ethnic cultures. It belongs to this. It does not. It belongs to the people who chose to get up there and look ridiculous and let their pants fall past their behinds in public. That's where it belongs. Now, for those that are young, parents, adults, for all of you that are sitting up there pointing fingers, as Mr. Williams said earlier, stop getting your T's twisted. Don't talk about them, teach them.
Correct.
Because it's every single person's responsibility to build a better generation beneath us. It's everybody's responsibility.
I mean, I still believe in the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. That still holds true.
Indeed,
we've gotten away from that. That's why I say we need to get back to some of these basics, man, and start saving some of our young people and stop losing them to the enemy out here.
We absolutely do not have that support structure anymore, and it's sad. I keep thinking about, I couldn't go from my house past three houses next to my house to get to the store without at least one or two of my neighbors having something to say, looking at me from their window.
Yes, they have to realize it starts at home. Like I've always said, the teachings and everything starts at home. When you leave the house, you are representing your family. And my father used to stress that to me all the time. You're not going to go out of here looking any old kind of way, because when you leave here, you represent this house and you represent this family. So if you think you're going to leave out of this house and looking all raggedy and scraggly, your hair not combed, you're not looking neat, you can forget it, you know. So that seems like we've gotten away from a lot of that.
I remember the nosy church people. I'm a pastor's daughter, so I remember when you're a pastor's child or any official in the church's offspring, you have a lot more pressure. It's like being the president's daughter. You have a lot more pressure with people looking at you and scrutinizing everything about you. The things that other people can do, if you're doing it, it's a big gossip talk, or it's a news headline. You know, I remember having a rip in my stocking once because I just ran into a nail and it got snagged. And it was, oh, Pastor Dana got a rip in her stocking. Did you see the rip in her stocking? So there were nosy people all over the place making sure that you were on your toes, that you were on your toes. But as much as you hated it back then, looking back at my age, I could say that as much as they annoyed me, thank you.
Right.
You know, as much as they annoyed me, thank you, because without those people watching every little thing you did, you wouldn't know how to be responsible for your own stuff or check your own stuff.
Right.
So that is something I say thank you for. Matter of fact, it's funny that the event that I just went to with the Track One Entertainment Company, the group Allure that was singing, it was a small world to know that one of the girls in the group, her grandmother used to babysit me in church, and she used to be very sweet but very firm. And I remember that as much as I used to hate being restricted, something about Sister Davis was wonderful, and she used to sneak little candies underneath to give me, you know, and everything. So I remembered that, and I was about 2 or 3 years old when Miss Davis had me. So, like, I'm 40 years older than that now. So I'm like, wow, just to think that type of an impact on a person, because she used to talk and still be firm. No, honey, you can't go over there now. If you want to get your little butt stinked, then you go ahead. But you can sit right here with me, and if you're good, I'll give you a candy.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So yeah. It's just, that's the type of thing that we need to do. Now, not to say, to be fair, the youth today, you're not going to get such an easy entrance into their mind or into their ears to listen. But it doesn't mean that you don't try, you don't keep trying, or you don't keep doing it, because there has to be somewhere where they say, okay, there is a line between right and wrong. There is two sides of the line. I have to argue with my sons all the time, get your pants up. What are you showing your behind for? Get your pants up. Ma, it's 2013. It's the style. In my house, it's 1986, and I don't know nothing about it.
You got that right.
So, you know, this is what I have to go through. Do they not try? Of course. As soon as they go out the door and they think mom's not looking, the pants come right down, and I see it, and I'll be right in the window. Put it up. And they'll wait till they get down the block past the window. So then I started asking the neighbors to take a look and let them say the same thing, and I gave them certain permissions to say to the children as they go, because I won't always have my eyes on them.
That's right.
So these fathers that are sagging with their sons, that's not a good look, and it's not a good example, and it's not telling them that there's something wrong about it. It's telling them, hey, son, I'd rather you do it with me than behind my back. That's exactly the way I want it to be done. I would rather that my children fear and respect me enough not to want to do those things in my face.
Correct.
Ridiculous. And those of you that are over the age of 50, I don't think sagging works for you.
You got that right. And that goes back to being their friends. You're not being a parent, a very good parent, if you're out there sagging along with these kids. Come on. Come on now. Wake up. What are you out there sniffing on or smoking on or something? You can't be out there sagging with these young people that's supposed to be your child. Come on. You make yourself look ridiculous.
It's too crazy. It's really too crazy. Too crazy. It doesn't make sense. And it's hard to already fight the world for your kids now, because this world is worse than it's ever been for us.
Yes.
Okay? The last of the support structures, the last of the moral, you know, fixtures. The church is no longer what it used to be. The politicians are more boldly grimier than ever. You know, you don't have much to choose from now, even in the candidate electorates coming up. So it's like, where are these children turning? And everybody, like you said, is busy getting their T's twisted. Oh, you sagging, you're a troublemaker. Oh, look at that one. He's going to grow up to be nothing. I've heard that a little too often. Oh, he's going to grow up to be dead or in jail. That's a nice thing to tell a kid that's 11. He's going to do nothing but wind up dead or in jail. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some kids that are just not helpable at some point. I think so. I think if they're determined. What I mean is they need to be, they are the one of those types that needs to learn for themselves. Like, they need to find out the hard way type, you know. And then what happens after that? There still needs to be somebody there when that happens. There does come a point in time where we have to say, you know what? I got to let you see that for yourself. Because the more gates that you try to put around this child to give them safety, the more they're going to think that you're the enemy and there's something you're trying to keep me from seeing out there. It does happen. Well, let me have your final thoughts on this matter, Mr. Deacon Williams.
I'm looking at across the country, period, sagging needs to be outlawed. I mean, because it doesn't look very appealing. There's nothing sexy about it. I mean, what's sexy? Come on. You want people walking around and seeing what kind of drawers you got on? Come on. Let's keep it 100. There's nothing appealing or sexy about that. Nothing at all. None whatsoever. And I'm not trying to. I mean, we've all had our fads and stuff as we were coming up. But come on, it comes to a point now. We all have to look at things at a certain way, man. Come on now. That's degrading to our young people that are coming around. And it's not just a racial thing, neither. Because you have white kids walking around sagging, too. So let's don't get it twisted. It's not just a black thing. So anybody that's out there thinking it's just a black thing, that's not so.
It isn't, and they need to stop putting the blame game on a widespread problem. I mean, I remember when AIDS first hit, when AIDS first became an epidemic, which, by the way, they only made it an epidemic when Mr. Rock Hudson, it was revealed that he had. And I think that was the nastiest, little trickiest, low-life thing they could have done. They blamed it on the Africans. They said Africans brought AIDS or created AIDS.
Yeah. And that wasn't the case at all.
No. Because you know what? I doubt that Mr. Rock Hudson was in Africa when he got afflicted with it. And last I checked at that day, they weren't allowing very many Africans to be affiliated with people like a Rock Hudson. So where did that come from?
Or a Liberace.
And exactly. And you know what else? They even did something else, which I think that they helped to spread it by trying to cover up. Understand, Rock Hudson was the big sex symbol movie moneymaker. Okay?
Right.
So what they did was they forced him to get married to the most beautiful of starlets so that, you know, anybody looking from the outside would go, he couldn't possibly be gay.
Yeah.
He couldn't possibly like men because he's got Elizabeth Taylor. Now, what if these women, not knowing the situation, would have gotten involved with him sexually, and there's the spread. If you got married and you can't tell him what's going on, so what did Hollywood do? And by the way, look out for that topic, because that's one topic that I'm going to be bringing up sometime in the next week or the week after. The cover-up,
okay.
You know about what the situation with Whitney Houston, and I think that sort of contributed to a lot of the mental conditions that everybody was going through. Make you feel like I'm not allowed to be me because I'm me, because I'm under, you know, this, I work for this industry. That's crazy.
Right.
But at the same token, maybe that's why our young people are being so rebellious and standing strong in things that they know upset the adult world, because they're not seeing it from a teaching point of view. They're seeing it from a war standpoint.
Right.
I still think a lot of these parents, if they're in the household, are still being a little too rose-colored with the way that they talk about stuff. Like I said, I grew up with the stork comes from a baby. I remember watching the Flintstones when they brought Bam Bam and Pebbles and left them at a door. Actually, Bam Bam crawled with a caveman's bat as a baby all the way across the bedrock and landed on the rubber stork. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I was about 4, and I asked my mother, so you mean to tell me you had about 7 birds come to your door to bring all of us? If you start letting your children know, you used to be a teen who was not popular, who had buck teeth, who had thick glasses, who everybody laughed at, who wanted to have sex early, but who did this. If you start letting them know that all that little crazy stuff they're going through, you've been there, done that, and you can even explain that you used to be a nerd or you used to be the one everybody picked on, and your kid could look up at you and go, really, Dad? Really, Mom?
Yeah.
You did? And then you go, oh, yeah, I have pimples on my face and everything. Because your children think that you're an alien right now. What do you know? You're grown. You're a grown-up. Everybody listens to grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't always. So that's what I say. Mr. Williams.
Yes.
I'm going to bring this segment to a close. However, I want to thank you, and I would like for you to please stick around because we're having this special sports edition tonight. And Monster Miles, as I told everyone, he has a huge family emergency which came upon him at the last minute. I want to give him my support and pray everything goes okay where he's at. But I promised him, because he begged me to make sure I get on the heat. So... And he asked me for all his regular panelists to please, you know, join in his fight. And we're going to get into doing some talking tonight about the Jason Kidd move, about the finals. So I'm asking that you hang on if you're feeling, you know, up to it, to please join us for that, okay?
Not a problem.
All right, I'm going to break, and I will be back at 5. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be back. We're going to have our sports segment coming up at 9 o'clock, right after this break. I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Marcus M.C. Silvers. He just lost his dad a couple of days ago. He's one of our up-and-coming market artists. He's also an up-and-coming client of the KBA Publicist Agency. And Marcus, here's your rendition of Cameo's Candy. We're praying for you, dude. Looking forward to seeing you back in the studio, okay? Be back in 5, folks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love round 9. finna spread, I got my shine on. Team on the block, we get that grind on. Girls only with that green, so I treat them like I watch, I don't win, cause I ain't got time for them. I got love for my fans, though. Heat it up, she got me bustin' shots like Rambo. Riding nonstop, without handles. Six shift, no automatic on manual. My team, you know I gotta ride for. Every truck I do, I cup a G4. Boss is crazy, cream ball, about to blow up, boom, C4. I'm on a roll, I can't stop it. Swagger on a mill, yo, she's on top of. You mad cause she chose me. And she tastes just like me.
My trust exercise.
So
we lift our hands and we
I just lift my hands and say.
Everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. You just heard the group Libra singing I Will Be Alright. The six young men and women that are out here trying to promote not just themselves and positivity, but they're uplifting our Lord. That was I Will Be Alright. What you don't know is that one of those members is our own Monster Miles brother. And I just found that out recently, but they're an awesome group. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. All right, sports fans, let's get to going. Now, sorry Monster Miles cannot be here for those of us just tuning in. Monster Miles had a extreme family emergency this evening, and he had to go off to the hospital. His young nephew is spiking a high fever. They don't know what's going on. So I want to give out my regards and support to him, and I'm asking all of you to excuse him for the day. But he did tell me what he wants to talk about, and all of us sports fans are out here doing it. We already have our panelists on the line, so let's bring him in, and we will get started, and I will get our topic questions out there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Katie. Hello again.
All right, you can hold on a second, Betty. Let me get the other one in. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Ashanda. Hey. All right, everybody's all right. Everybody, the game's all here. The game's all here. All right. First up tonight, let's talk about the finals. Because you know, I got to put my little heat bash up in there. I do not care what they did last night. They ain't winning a thing. Not a thing, not a thing.
Yes? Oh, they had to do that last night.
And was it not...
I think they fed the ref some filet mignon and they gave him a little extra lobster yesterday because they were calling that game totally different from the game before.
I believe
it's all a big thing. You know who's in control of that NBA thing and the way sports is now. It's all about the money.
Yeah, I think Bosh had a little something to do with it too. He said he was giving out free ranch dressings and stuff like that.
Free rubbing oil?
Anybody need salad, he had it. Yeah.
Free rubbing oil.
Right. Yeah, that
was.
But you know what? They had to come out and do something. Because if not, I'm telling you, they was not leaving San Antonio.
No way.
They wasn't.
No.
Mm-mm.
But I think
so Heat fans, you better enjoy it while you can.
Right.
Because the next game you will lose.
It's a pattern. I think they're trying to make it look like they're not being biased to Miami. You know,
yeah.
So they're trying to give it, you know, okay, win one, lose one. But the bottom line is I saw some outright, conspicuously rotten calls. We already know about the first game. Was it game two? With the goaltending, and he didn't call that. He called
yeah.
the foul. He they're the same with the Knicks and they're in the playoffs. When Melo had his hand right in there, I always known it to be that as long as the shot was going down and it was interrupted, it's not a foul, it's a goal.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if the rules of the game changed.
And the hand is usually up past the doggone rim, so what is that?
And I don't know. But I don't think they care anymore that the camera is right on them, looking at them directly. Replay will show proof in the pudding. I don't know.
They looking at the floor when the replay is going on.
Yeah.
Don't nobody see nothing.
I do want to say, for the record, that LeBron James will never, ever, 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 ever be a Michael Jordan.
Once
again, I don't know why they keep on trying to compare him to being like Mike. He will never be like Mike. He will like Mike, but he won't be like Mike.
Mm-hmm. You want to be like Mike,
He don't have the skills. He don't have the class. Listen, anybody, all of these youngsters now can jump high. Michael knew how to use the right jump at the right time in the right manner. He knew how to pass the ball. He knew how to not hog up stuff when it was at the court of the team. Not to mention he came from an era where you had to know how to play and know how to play with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear it.
And like I believe Mike would never went to another team either. So that's
no, good. Not to win a championship. He wanted the
that's
competition.
Downfall
he wanted
right
the
there.
Right. He wanted to play against the tougher competition. He would never go over to a Miami team and say, well, let's get together so we can play. You think he would have approached Larry Bird and said, well, let me come over to Boston so we can win a bunch of championships? No way.
Right.
He thrived on that competition.
Even playing with Magic. He
would have enjoyed doing it. He would have enjoyed the fun of beating Larry Bird. He would not, like you said, I think you said this before, Deacon Williams, you said this in a previous sports segment. He would have enjoyed the competition, beating the competition, staying right where he was. That's
right.
What he got his joy from.
Mm-hmm.
From doing the hard stuff.
Trying to better his team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have jumped ship. Which brings us to the next point. Let me just say this. I still say the Spurs in five, maybe six, but Miami's getting nothing.
I don't want them to win either.
Well, you know what? It's 2-2 now, so they can't do it in five.
Okay.
It would have to be six or seven.
Yeah. The next game is in San Antonio, but the last two would be in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they did, if they got them right on their home team, their home court?
Well, that's the way it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's what Skip said. Skip said that they play better away.
Yeah.
They play, a lot better away.
I think it would
be that'd be beautiful. Yeah, that'd be real beautiful.
I think it would be beautiful because
that's,
the Miami
that's like
Heat
taking rock salt and rubbing it in the wound.
Confetti just falling from the Miami Heat, everything, and the San Antonio that win.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Yeah,
the Texas tornadoes in South Beach.
One you take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would love it. You know why? Because Miami Heat has become you and I are all pretty much from, we all remember around the same time. Miami Heat versus the Knicks used to be a real great rivalry. They were a great team with a bunch of great players that even though they were cocky and they were street-like, I'll tell you that much, it was entertaining to come see and it was real passionate stuff going on. This little sensationalism practice, they done pulled out of the college classroom. And onto the court, it defies everything that the NBA is about. The commercialism about it, the sensationalism, and all of these young players right now, they're chasing the fame, not the game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a sad thing because I love this game like I love my own body, to put it that way. And it's like watching the Knicks get cheated out of any type of point, if it's going to be a fair game and everybody got game, bring your best game without loading your bat or the steroids, scenario.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't go padding. If your game is good, do your game. Which brings us up to the next point. What are your thoughts on the Jason Kidd move right now? I'm going to go to you, Mr. Williams.
Turncoat.
Turncoat.
I used to have a lot of respect for Jason Kidd, but what he did, he just killed it. There's no way you're gonna leave New York. It makes me think that they were in negotiations while he was still playing with the team.
Absolutely.
So,
and you, LaShonda?
I don't really know too much about where Jason Kidd is doing. So.
Okay. Well,
they just hired him to be the Brooklyn Nets coach.
Jason Kidd?
Yes.
Well, remember he was a former Nets player. That's where he was at. That's where he did his big stuff. Now, this is the deal.
I bet you know what? I bet you Jay-Z got something to do with that.
Jay-Z is no longer part of the Nets.
He not?
He gave that position up. No, he's going to be a agent now. He's going to be a pro athletic agent now.
And you don't think
he sold his ownership rights.
Well, come to think of it,
for
though.
For the Nets, right. The same thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
okay.
He's a Brooklynite. He's a diehard Brooklynite. He is an agent. So giving up his ownership rights doesn't stop him from, you know, doing a little whisper in the ear as an agent.
He's already an agent for Robinson Cano for the New York Yankees.
Well, I will tell you this.
Okay.
I think Jay-Z might be a little far-stretched. But I have no doubt in my mind that Jason Kidd's retirement came right on a nice little, you know, let's call it a showbiz move. Okay? He got, let's say, resurrected from being an old-timer going out into getting his juices back, his career back up there as an old-timer for the Knicks. He got a couple of, you know, extras going for him and then retired with $6 million still left on the table. You don't walk away from $6 million unless you know you got a bigger nest egg out there.
So he retiring, and they want him to be the coach.
He's already been hired.
Of the Brooklyn Nets, which is another New York, brand new New
that's,
York
that's the,
team.
That's the same team where Jay-Z got the big old B in the center of
the
floor. And I believe that's for Beyonce. They ain't from that thing on Brooklyn. That's for Beyonce.
Thank you. Well, it's a little too shady. It smells fishy. I think it's a big old kick to the face of the team he just rode the coattails on to get a little, a little resurrection back in his, you know, how once you become a certain age in the NBA, you're kind of considered an old guy.
He's not even a New Yorker. He's a California boy.
I haven't really heard this
sucks.
Yet.
Yeah.
The loyalty sucks. I think, and then on top of that, it's like, you know, I'm going to cut you and then I'm going to throw salt in the stab wound. So he goes to the Brooklyn competition for the Knicks to be their coach.
But that's all right. You know what? That's okay because the Knicks are going to smash them next season.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. You know I'm going to be a diehard flag waver. But I'm saying, just the whole idea. And on top of that, he got to spend time inside the Knicks locker room as a Knick, knowing the strategies that the coach plays. That's dirty.
All that's going to change. They know they have to get together. That's all going to change.
Okay, y'all, I think I done got confused. Is it he going to be the coach for the Knicks or the Nets?
No, the Nets. What we're saying is that he used, understand, he's a former Nets player that's old in age, you know, old to the NBA.
Okay, the Nets.
He was a Nets player.
Now, the Nets, ain't that a new team? Or a
no,
new
no, no.
name or
they
something?
They used to be the New Jersey Nets, now they're the Brooklyn
Nets.
Okay, New Jersey. Jason Kidd used to be a Jersey Net.
Okay.
Before that, he was a Dallas Maverick.
Right, that's right, he sure was. So as a former New Jersey, now Brooklyn Nets player, you know when you get to a certain age in any athletic field, you become considered an old-timer, old. Okay? With all his injuries and with all his bad knees, with all whatever was going on with him, he got to rejuvenate his career and be back up in the spotlight again as a Knick.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that now you're in New York in the Knicks locker room, knowing Mike Woodson's strategies, and suddenly, now that the Knicks didn't win the playoffs or whatever, Now you're retiring and you still got $6 million on the table and you signed a 3-year contract with the Knicks.
So he was with the Knicks, but now he going to coach the Nets.
He's going into what he calls, and I'm quoting, quote, end quote, early retirement. But then as soon as the early retirement became a thing, suddenly he got a New York Nets, a Brooklyn Nets coach job. You don't leave $6 million on the table or breach an early as the rest of your contract unless you got something already in place.
Right. They probably doubled it for him.
They've been doing this negotiation while he was riding in the Knicks locker room from day one. They timed it perfectly. They said, no, play it out with the Knicks. But what a rotten, bad thing to do, especially coming from the era of when the rules of the game meant something. What a rotten, slimy thing to do, Jason Kidd.
Yeah, see, I haven't heard nothing about that.
And then he took a job with the split in New York competition. You understand? Like, New York Knicks was the only New York team. Then Jay-Z came in and did his little, you know, Jay-Z blew dirt off your over magic, whatever the hell it is he's doing. Okay? Then split New York up, so the loyalties are split. But then this is the coach job you decide to take is the Brooklyn Nets. After coming off the New York Knicks. After using the New York Knicks to get fame again. After leaving them with the remainder of a contract you didn't fulfill because you're going to go into early retirement. And still having $6 million of unclaimed money or whatever it is. Still
well, he can send that unclaimed money right on over here to Glimmer.
I'm with you, but
God,
I'm saying.
God, show him how to use it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to have a third of that.
I'll just take the tithes part. All I need is the tithes part, you know? Yeah. But you hear what I'm saying. It's all fishy. It's all fishy. But you know what? It don't matter because the Knicks are going to bust your butts next year anyway. And I don't see the Brooklyn Nets getting past any playoffs in Madison Square Garden. Sorry. And
well,
you don't want me to be working that night because for some reason they don't ever lose a home game when I'm working.
Oh, wow. Well, that's all right, too, then, shoot.
They probably know I'm up there yelling. I'll be like, listen, I'm coming down there with a hot tongue if you don't get it together. That'll be me. I'm telling you. I'll be like, what are you doing, Jason? But that's getting on. So definitely everything I'm telling you about, Monster had a Monster Miles has his own opinion on it. He thinks that LeBron is LeBum. You know this. He still says it don't matter. Oh, by the way, I'm saying this on the air, you Miami Heat wannabe fans. Why is it when they were losing, at least we talk crap with or without the losses. All right? I don't see not one Miami Heat fan talking nothing when the Heat was losing. But all of a sudden now, we got Mr. Seven Word Al having 8 million things to say. We got all these Heat fans coming out like crickets, jumping into the middle of the sand, talking about, yeah, go Heat. Heat Nation, hi haters, hi this. What happened? We were Spurs. I was Knicks when Knicks were losing. I was Spurs now, whether they lost or not. And I still think they're going to lose. Heat, that is.
Right.
All right, come on, Williams, come in here and give us your heat stuff.
That's what I think about the Heat. They're very laughable.
They're
very laughable. Yeah, very, very, very laughable. A lot of them, they still like to build sandcastles in the sand, so they can still keep on doing that if they want to. So it's all going to come crumbling down. After the next game comes Sunday, they will lose Sunday. So that'll make them be 3-2. They will go back to Miami, lose the first game back at home in Miami. It's going to be done. It will be done.
You're like a rise and walk, my son.
Yes, yes.
All
yes,
of you down there.
Yes.
You are done.
I prophesied a victory Sunday.
Okay, yes.
Well, that'll be beautiful.
Yes.
I say it with pride, and I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, you know what else? Guys, tell me if y'all agree. I watched this game, on the last game, okay? Did it not look to you like the Spurs were, like, deliberately, like backing down from playing hard? I don't know. It's starting to look like these games are staged. Like there's a script they have to follow.
It reminds me of watching WWE.
That's exactly what I was saying.
It was
like
all
finding
fake.
Out it's fake.
Yeah.
And actually, a Miami Heat fan actually said that on Facebook. He said there's no doubt in his mind that these games are fixed. Okay?
Yeah.
It's all about the money now. Notice that every playoff goes to a Game 7. Every final now goes to a Game 7. Have y'all noticed that?
Yeah.
Every final is going to the very last game. They're trying to bring
it. It is scripted. It is scripted.
That's horrible.
Unless they can show me something different, it is scripted.
That's
because, you know, the syndicate is still alive and well. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. They still got bookies out there and everybody's taking payoffs. And look at last year. How many referees did they bust that was taking payoffs?
Wow.
And last year is when the rookie refs started, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
But
terrible.
Then they busted that full-time referees was busted from taking payoffs on certain games. So it's not like, it's not, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't think there's not some shady stuff going on in the NBA. And not just the NBA. In sports, period.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's too bad when you can't go and play like you would, you know, normally play because you're thinking about how much such and such them paid me to make this, you know, lose this game or whatever. That ain't right.
Right. Every time you turn around, somebody's trying to renegotiate their contract. You know what? If I was still able to play and had a few more years shaved off my age, and I'm not going to reveal how old I am, but I would play for – if whatever contract that I had signed for that year, say I signed for $3 million, you wouldn't have to worry about me for a few years. $3 million? I'm not going to run through no $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now, you got these people getting paid $20 million, $30
million,
$120 million. You're not going to spend all that money.
Right.
There's no way on God's green earth are you going to spend all that money.
And
so it's a lot of greed to that.
And you know, at $3 million, I think you can live off $1 million if you get it right.
Yeah,
that buys me a whole house.
You know,
no
you
more
spend your money wisely
about.
And don't be out there acting like somebody's fool.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's what they do, though.
And
that's
you know what?
Do,
and that's why I can't stand on another subject, Floyd Mayweather, to this day. When I say I don't like that boy, I can hear it in your voice. Oh, Lord.
Sounds like a Nicki Minaj.
I'm telling y'all, when I say I want somebody to whoop him and whoop him good, I pay anything to see it. I'd give up my TVs to see it. Anything. Well, I want somebody to tear his butt. That's one arrogant
I don't like him. What you don't know is that when LaShonda says that way, she means it. Now, you don't know, but she has a diehard hatred for Nicki Minaj.
Oh,
she has to
Lord.
Go to, she has to go to a 12-step program.
That's another one. I can't stand her either. But that's
oh my
Floyd.
Goodness. We
I
had
want
to
somebody
playing.
To need to find somebody to whoop. I'm telling you.
She started
Shoot,
out with
we need
somebody.
To do some
please
recruiting.
Tell me. Well, I gotta tell you, I'm absolutely right. We had to start putting acronyms and anagrams to save the word Nicki. She can handle it now because we could say Nicki straight out now, and she's calm. Because
right.
She found Candy Crush and Ruzzle. But she, when she
you know,
says
you,
Floyd
you know
Mayweather,
what? I have to comment on that. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know. I just it's just something about I have to give, or I have to respect her in a certain, to a certain point, Nicki Minaj. You know, she's a very strong black young woman. She knows what she wants, and she goes out and gets it. You know, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I don't think she knows what she wants.
Okay.
I don't think she just takes what she can get. How many black people do you see?
Do you see on television that they use in a Pepsi commercial? Black women. It's quiet. Has she been in a Pepsi commercial that I missed? Yes. I would never watch that.
Because I think I would have a nightmare watching Nicki Minaj on a Pepsi bottle.
She's even signed an agreement with Adidas.
Okay, that goes well.
She's not wearing it anymore.
Yeah. Well, my argument is not her status. She's a great person. She can hook up with great artists. She's a great duet person. Okay, nothing. But I don't think she was talented enough to judge singers. I'm sorry. I don't think that she qualified to be talented enough to be a singer's judge, because she can't sing. You can't sit there and
I don't know. To me, she just like a big old fake person. I don't know. She just seemed fake to me. And looking at her
It's not really singing to me. I really don't get that boom from it, you know?
I don't get boom
from you singing either, lady. But she's got great songs. She's got a great song. I'm sound. She knows how to hook up with the right producers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Auto-tune is helping a lot of the nowadays singers.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Mariah Carey is a singer. With or without order.
And I didn't like the way she disrespect Mariah Carey either.
She was gonna
whoop on Mariah Carey. You better sit your little Trinidad ass down.
Mariah Carey is a singer. Randy Jackson knew music. I didn't think Paula Abdul qualified to be a singer either. But at least she did a little more of something else than Nicki Minaj ever has. Okay.
I think Paula Abdul played the damn drums more than she did anything, didn't she?
And Paula Abdul choreographed for big people, and she did have she was nasal, but not auto-tuned. You understand?
Yeah.
Whatever it was that she did, it was her voice. So I think that she had the right to sit there that much, at least to be second chair to somebody. Now, Simon can't sing at all, but Simon knows music and talent, and he knows what's out there. So you needed a Simon Cowell on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Jackson is a musician, so he knew what to hear, and he produced, if I'm not mistaken. Lionel Richie was on there at one point, you know, so they do good things. But who is Nicki Minaj to tell somebody that they can't sing when she's not a singer? I don't think that's quality.
Honey, no. Girl, if you shut up.
Well, that's just like saying that George Michael that year was qualified to win a BET Soul Award. I mean, a Soul Train Award. You understand?
You said George Michael?
No, I don't know if you remember that quite a few years back when the Soul Train Awards was out, Dionne Warwick had a big outright statement to make. She says, "I don't take away from the fact that George Michael is a sensational performer, but he's a white artist that was being nominated in an all-black award show, and that wasn't fair because
BET Awards.
He won over, no, it wasn't BET, it was Soul Train Awards. And he won over Luther Vandross and Janet Jackson. You serious? He didn't qualify. She was absolutely right. They were celebrating black artists and black music. Why on earth was George Michael in that, even though some of his music sounded soulful? They specifically made the Soul Train Awards for black artists in a black music field. That was her argument.
Did George Michael sing with black people? Did he have duets and stuff with black people?
Well, he sang, from what I understood, with Elton John or Aretha Franklin once.
Okay, Aretha Franklin, that'll do you right there. I mean, because it seemed like if he like had a duet or something.
But if that was the case, then Aretha Franklin should have been the main artist nominated, not George Michael. That's what her argument was.
It depends on whose song it was, though.
No.
If it was his featuring Aretha, then it would have got him into the Soul Train Award.
His own song with no artist on it. It was just that I believe it was Careless Whisper, or it was something that was kind of crossover dance pop and black people liked it too. But she was absolutely right. That song should have never been on the ballot. Because it was an all white artist singing a song that just happened to be liked by black people. But you're going to tell me that he won over Luther Vandross and Janet Jackson in a black field? Are you kidding me? She was absolutely right. She felt like that should never have been an option. This was our show. It's for our people. And it's true.
And what song was this? Well, I need to Google this. I need to find out what song was that.
You know what? Look it up. It's old because, you know, Dionne Warwick is sort of quiet now. But
George Michael was
back in the 90s maybe. But it was something like that. It's like she felt this was not one of those.
And he probably sounded black on the song.
Well, you know that George Michael is soulful anyway. You know, but he didn't. He has his little wham voice. But,
yeah.
And she said, this was not one of those crossover shows. This is strictly known as Soul Train Black Music Awards, Soul Train Awards for black people. When have you seen Soul Train bringing on white artists except once in a while when they really made that type of an impact?
Yeah, I have to take a look at
that. Soul Train was about black artists celebrating black music. And not that it's a racism of anything. George Michael was sensational, but she's absolutely right. They already got the Grammys. They already got the VMAs, which is Video Music Awards. They already got the Video Soul Awards. I mean, Video something. I forgot what it is. But they have all that. They got the American Music Awards.
I think it's American Music Awards where they show, like, mainly white people or whatever.
And the Grammys are rigged. So I don't care what nobody tells me. I remember one year I was looking. I was like, what? What? I didn't know. Oh, what was that? Norah Jones. That year. Now, okay, she can sing, but was her song all that? It was all that to them classical white people that were judging, absolutely. But the song that she was up against, absolutely not. The popularity, yeah, right. Guys, we are running over, so I need your final thoughts on the Spurs Heat predictions. We all said in game 6 or 7, right?
Right.
Williams?
Yep. 7.
You say 7? I say 6. What do you say, Shonda?
I'm going with, can we go 6? Let me see. It's 4 now. 5. I'm going with 6, too.
All right, so it's 6
next
and 7.
Two.
Okay, yep. Jason Kidd, final thoughts.
I haven't really heard
that's
about
the thought
him.
Right there. Nothing.
All right, guys, I'm going to do my scheduling showcase next because I got to market up my entrepreneurs and I got to market up the new artists. LaShonda, hang out because your boy Mo knows that he's up in that one too. Okay?
What up to my boy Mo?
Yeah, I know he in D-Town. He in the city?
All right.
Yeah, he should be back pretty soon, though.
Yeah, well, the Heat ain't going nowhere with San Antonio's property. So, they ain't going nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. Okay?
And tell,
Ivana,
is it Miles? Tell
Michael.
Him what, I'll send prayers his way, Miles.
Yes, please.
Send prayers to his family.
Yeah, we crossing our fingers and praying over here now. And he definitely.
Well, the healing has already taken place. I'm claiming that. The healing is already taking place.
He certainly was unhappy not to be here to bash LeBum in his mind. And I say that in game 6, we're going to be singing Chris Brown's Deuces to LeBron, who's going to be LeGon, like his hairline. So, guys, we'll be back Monday with his regular segment. Hopefully, if everything goes okay. I love talking to you guys and hanging out with you guys. We was expecting a couple of people who didn't show. And, of course, by the way, do y'all hear that?
What's
Miami Heat fans.
Nothing.
Miami Heat fans. I was at least expecting the 7 boom booms, but I guess not. So,
Right.
We are headed out, and I'm going to go out off into it. So, guys, thanks for hanging out, okay?
All right. Have a good
all right.
night,
be
y'all.
Blessed.
You too.
Thanks, honey. Welcome, listeners. It's about that time. We are about to go and talk about our nice little OTE market artists and our entrepreneurs. I want to start off giving my shout out to Flint out there, my boy Mo, Gordon, Alvin, Brad, Sean, LaShonda, all you people out there that's out there, Mike Baines, y'all listening to me, Mo Sports Mouth, all my Flintstones that's out there. If I forgot anybody, you can inbox me and curse me out and I'll make sure you're back on. Okay? Brooklyn. I got to give a shout-out to Tracy Annette Simpson and Nathaniel Johnson. My Pennsylvania people, Latasha, what's up out there? My babies, Natasha, every single one of you. Lady Diamond, I know you out there a little strapped, okay? DJ Dome Record, you're about to do your thing on Monday. Every one of you, let's get to this market artist. First up, we got Latasha's Tassels. She does the most marvelous twists, guys. Twists. She does braiding. She can make some styles. She's out in Lansdale, PA. You can contact her at Latasha's Tassels at, let me make sure I got this one correctly, gmail.com. Next up, we got our boy Mo with Ianka Photography and Imaging. You can contact him. I'm having trouble seeing the screen, people, so kindly bear with me. And the allergies are kicking. Oh, by the way, some of my friends had some bad weather. Toledo, Ohio, I know had a tornado, and so did Atlanta, Georgia. All of you out there, you know, please be careful. May God keep you safe when it happened and in the aftermath. So please, you know, keep your head up in prayer and claim that God got you. All right, here we go. Ianka. That's our boy Mo, Flint, Michigan. Contact him at marmos567@gmail.com. Mosley Sound Inc., also by my boy Mo in Flint, Michigan. Contact him for any music situations at mosleysound@aol.com. Kindly visit the OTE official website so you can click on the links for yourself. New York, New York, my boy Hector Melendez, HSM Photography NYC. He's in New York, New York. You can contact him at hsmphotographynyc@yahoo.com. Doodle Technologies in Brooklyn, New York. That's my boy Nate. He's out there. Formerly PC Mac. If any of you did business with your computers out there, any IT stuff, and you remember the facility as being PC Mac, it has now been renamed to Doodle Technologies. So you can contact him at doodletechnologies@gmail.com. Back to my boy Nate in Brooklyn, New York. 4Play Music Entertainment. Now this particular company that he's got going, I'm proud of him with. He's offering free DJ-based services to all nonprofit organizations, including schools and churches. So if you guys want to run an event and you need music, he includes sound and lighting with free DJ-based services if you are a nonprofit organization. The rest of you, he charges you a fee, but he's good at what he does. Contact him at the number 4playmusicent@gmail.com. As I've been telling you, we have another, I called him a young man because he's got some spunk. His name is Dave G. I had the pleasure of getting to know him on Mother's Day weekend at an event that was done by Barry Mason's Track One Entertainment with Simply Sensational Incorporated in the Brooklyn Exposure in Brooklyn, New York. This man got some energy. He can move. He's got some cool songs, some stuff you could dance to, a little bit of old school flavor. His name is Dave G. Google him, y'all. He is managed by Zena M. Gilliard on the ZMG Management Company. You can email his agent at zenagilliard@yahoo.com. Our brand new addition on the entrepreneurs page is Jazz OG Paparazzi Productions. He is the manager for the young man you heard me play tonight, Mr. Mike Check, for the single Rewind Me and My Shorty. His name is Wesley Hooks. He's the manager of Mike Check. You could contact him at 347-715-8075. Going on now to our artists. Our artists, you have heard him. You have heard them. You guys all know what it's about. Let me get back to who they are. Let me refresh your memory, reacquaint you. Our artists of the day are, you guys know Mr. Marcus MC Silvers, once again giving him some support and condolences for his loss of his father. He is my publicist agency upcoming artist in addition to Jive Music. You guys all know her. He has the single that is the rendition remake of Cameo's 1980s hit Candy. Our next group of budding artists on the list is the Young Christian group that you have been hearing their amazing song, I Will Be Alright. Libra, six amazing young men and women promoting the Lord and promoting positivity. Brand new from Toledo, Ohio, and our own Deacon Betty Williams, niece, Kayla Shea, beautiful young lady, wonderful personality, wonderful energy, dedication, great sound. She's a single of the single that I've been playing this week, Lie to Me. And I want all of you to know that I would like for you to check her out. I would like for you to please give her your support. Let her know what you think. Listen to the rest of her singles. She's bun. She's the bomb. She's the bomb. Okay. Once again, you guys can get a look at every single one of them on the On the Edge Radio Show official market page, which I will be giving you the link to the website at the end of the broadcast. All right. On my way back, I will be having our Friday Sassy Soap Talk on the way out. I will let you know in our final minutes of this broadcast, okay, that I do not agree with anything that the new One Life to Live is doing. The sexual overtones, now they got AMC, All My Children Online, depicting a scene with oral sex online, on the air. Absolutely not. This is daytime television. I don't care what time of night you put it on. This is a daytime soap that was done by a four decade long franchise by a bunch of great, talented, classy, vintage actors who put their heart and soul into it, and you're turning it into trash, absolute trash. These young kids are sexually promiscuous. They're leaving their babies everywhere. They're indulging with drugs. I understand that these are issues that come up, but the whole thing is you're supposed to present the issue so you could show a solution in a classy, socially responsible manner. All you're doing now is just giving us an HBO After Dark special. Some of the storylines you brought up have been great, but then you have the sexual overtone, or you have this profane thing. Having Snoop Dogg come up there to give Matthew Buchanan a big talk about being a deadbeat dad, but having him smoke marijuana in the boy's face nonstop and swinging. Not a good mix. I get that you try to clean it up by having him pretend to give Matthew the joint but take it back and said you got to be a little older to hang with this. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. This is getting ridiculous, and it's not entertainment anymore. It's becoming something that's contributing to what's already going wrong with the youth today. It's already going wrong with the youth today. Your job as a person that has a collective mass of people in front of you that you can cater to at one time is to give something a little bit different. And you took on this monster project. It was your job to do as good or better, and you didn't. You didn't. Vimal and Rama now need an open marriage because suddenly she's got man alert. All she wants to do is point her hormones to the next cute guy, and her husband is a little too predictable. That's not a good thing. So what do we do now, soap fans? We have gone this far and able to actually get them to revive a show that they axed. So if we're that if we are that powerful to bring One Life to Live and AMC back, we need to be that powerful to demand a little more socially responsible delivery of these storylines. Not just stop watching. Not just stop watching. It is our job to make just as much noise about what is being seen as about bringing it back on the air. Now, the news is now that they stopped production. They say it was because of negotiations and contracts, but I'm wondering if the fans are saying exactly what we're saying now. How are we supposed to be able to focus on the character's problem if all we're seeing is the character's bad mannerisms? If all we're seeing is that Destiny is struggling being a single mom, but she's hitting the clubs all the time and shaking her behind to the nearest guy, or trying to get Matthew Jones by talking about another guy. How are we supposed to understand that John is breaking Natalie's heart and she's a single mother when all we see is that she's leaving Liam at every chance she can get and going out to the clubs too? So, to mix with, by the way, a known con artist who conned her family. How are we supposed to understand that Danny is going through a hard time when all she's doing is cursing out all the help around her in the form of her parents? And picking up every guy and girl she can mix and mingle with sexual behavior in public. Come on. There's got to be a better way to do this. Got to be a better way to do this. Now, if we want to talk about having entertainment is one thing. But entertainment with overkill is another. And we still have kids that are watching this and young adults. Now, us older fans, we can decipher what's good and what's bad, but we're still offended by it. A majority of us are. And most of us would just turn off the TV and never want to watch it again and complain about it, but the rest of us will actually have something to say about it and trying to find something in it. So it is our responsibility as fans, as an older part of the generation, as people who have a voice and have a mind and have an opinion, to let these writers know that they need to go back into the writing room, and the board members above them need to be a little more selective and critiquing on what they put out there on production line and on the air, and what they're having these young actors portray and say. I have never seen Commissioner Bo Buchanan curse so bad. So that's my take on it. This is Katie's Sassy Soap Corner opinion. You know how I do. Those of you that are out there, we do have to bring this segment to a close. I am looking forward to hearing from all of you by email, by comments, on the posting board. We do have to take another break because I'm going to play out. Mr. Jadakiss asking us why is everything going the way that it is, including this bad soap opera stuff going on. And I will be back with my final remarks. Back in five, people.
Survive as it relates to across America.
Yeah, real. Yo, why is Jadakiss as hard as it gets? Why is the industry designed to keep the artists in debt? And why them dudes ain't riding if they party a set? And why they never get it popping but they party to death? Yeah, and why they gonna give you life for a murder? Turn around, only give you 8 months for a burner. Going down, why they selling people CDs for under a dime? And if it's all love, daddy, why you come with your nine? Why my homies ain't get that cake? Why is the brother up north better than Jordan that ain't get that break? Why you in stack instead of trying to be fly? Why is ratting at an all-time high? Why are you even alive? Why they kill Tupac and Chris? Why at the bar you don't take straight shots instead of popping Chris? Why them bullets have to hit that door? Why did Kobe have to hit that raw? Why he kiss that raw? Why?
All that I've been giving is the pain that I've been living. brothers get degrees in jail. Why you gotta do 85% of your time? And why do rappers lie in 85% of their rhyme? Why a brother always want what he can't have? Why I can't come through when the pecan jack? Why they crack have to hit so hard, even though it's almost over? Why people can't get no jobs? Why they come up with the witness protection? Why they let the Terminator win the election? Come on, pay attention. Why sell in the stores what you can sell in the streets? Why I say the hottest shit, but be selling the least? Why? Let a white man pop her to get an Oscar. And why Denzel have to be crooked before he took it? Why they didn't make the CL6 with a clutch? And if you don't smoke, then why the hell you reaching for my Dutch? Why rap? Cause I need airtime. Why be on the curb with a wild lie? I need a bear sign. Why all the young brothers is dying? Cause they moms at work, they pops are gone, they living with iron. Why they ain't give us a cure for AIDS? Why my diesel have fiends in the spot on the floor for days? Why you screaming like it's a slug? It's only the hawk. Why my buzz in LA ain't like it is in New York? Why they forcing you to be hard? Why ain't you a thug by choice? Why the whole world love my voice? Why I try to tell them that it's the flow, son? And you know why they made the new 20s? Cause I got all my old ones. That's why.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Hey, I'm back, everybody. Okay. I just want to tell everybody that I appreciate all of you coming in. I like to give a little bit of our listener count updates, and we are now at 3,100 people, up from yesterday's 2,930. And I don't know where all of you are coming from or what you've heard, but I'm thanking the Lord that whatever it is that you're hearing, more of you are trying to come in and listen, and whatever we're doing is touching you somehow. So I thank God for that, and I thank God for you. And anything that you can suggest to us, any topics that you see, anything that bothers you in your neighborhood, feel free to contact the show or contact me directly. And let us hear it, be your voice. Let us talk about it. We can even bring you in if you feel enough to it to talk about it on the air. But it needs to be said and it needs to be done. You hear that our panel has quite a few people, you know, it could be in your neighborhood, that has connections to talk and make a difference. This is what we have to do. As far as tonight's topic on sagging, this all goes back to us as adults having a role to play. And as Deacon Williams keeps saying over and over again, stop getting your T's twisted. Don't talk about them. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them so that they know that there is a difference. There's a two sides of the line. And that everybody is not on board with the nonsense. And do let them know that some of these things are nonsense. Half of it is healthy phases that teens go through that they will grow out of. But some of them are really embedded into people thinking it's an accepted practice that's going to go forever. And by the time that they come to grips with it, it may be too late because they didn't have guidance all the way through. We really have to step up, and we really have to do our part, because if we don't, our future is already going down the drain. The economy is already in a mess. Why let our kids be in a mess too? Until Monday night at 8 o'clock, folks, be blessed, be a blessing. Please make a difference, because we're definitely trying to. Okay? Have a good night, folks, and I will see you on Monday.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.